Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Sunday, November the 21st, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, the rise of violence across the United States, and particularly in some of the cities that are noteworthy. I've got an exploration I have for you that you might find interesting or downright crazy. I'll explain what I mean right after this.
Yeah, good evening to you both. We can tell you right now, this is a very, very active scene here. Multiple corners of Union Square are blocked off, this one and several others around here, as police continue to investigate what happened. And what is that they are investigating? It's this right here. This is the Louis Vuitton on the corner of Stockton and Union Square. And you can see that large pile of glass right in front of the store, as apparently looters, that's what San Francisco police are calling them, came into the store and pretty much took almost everything out of it earlier this evening. I want to show you some social media video that was sent to us earlier tonight as the incident was happening. You can see one man running away with a pile of clothes in his hand. And just beyond that, San Francisco police going right up to a car in front of the store as some people were apparently trying to get away. And once we arrived, we saw police block off this corner. But according to them, other stores as well are being investigated as to also having possible break-ins, maybe by the same people, maybe not. There's still a lot unclear at this moment. Now, this scene, as we mentioned, is still very, very active. There is police scattered almost on every corner here in Union Square. We've heard some reports that maybe some other officers are also going to be arriving as the night progresses here. You can see this large police presence here at Union Square tonight. As for the exact amount of suspects arrested, that is still a little unclear. They did say they arrested a few people, but they are still looking for others. That exact amount, we don't know at this time. But right now, they are still looking through to see what people may have done this, what people may have caused this. We're live here in San Francisco tonight. Ryan Curry, ABC 7 News.
That was Friday. That was a report on Friday night from here in San Francisco on the local news. And you didn't see it, but you heard it. This was a break-in at a high-priced store in the most major shopping district in San Francisco. That's Union Square, which is full of stores, which is full of very expensive, high-priced stores, particularly in that particular part of Union Square. You've got Neiman Marcus, you've got Macy's, you've got Tiffany & Company, you've got Louis Vuitton, as you just heard there, and you've got Ferragamo. You've got a load of stores in that little area there that are very high profile, high priced, expensive. And this is the time of year where you're seeing crime go up. In fact, crime has been going up for a long time, dear listener. And thank you very much for joining me on this Sunday edition of the Politocrat Daily Podcast. It's really, really good. So good to have you here. And I do appreciate you listening in, and I want to extend my hopes and positive vibes for you, and that your day and that your rest of your day and that the rest of your new brand new week goes well. It really is important. I hope you are well. And San Francisco is one of many cities across the United States and many cities around the world that is experiencing an increase in crime. And what happens here are a number of things. One, people are then beginning to feel more unsafe, or shall I say less safe, which completely makes sense. Number two, there is a lot of fear that comes with that, which is completely understandable. And number three, it leads to calls of, we need more police, we need more strenuous solutions in terms of crime punishments and longer sentences and all the rest of it. All of those things are things that are understood, things that you can expect from anybody, and particularly if you have been a victim of crime yourself, dear listener, you will probably have felt the same way on a number of these things. I think that all of those feelings make sense. Of course, I'm not here to validate how people feel. It's not my place to do that. I'm simply saying, you know, it's not my place to tell people how to feel is what I'm trying to say. Well, it depends on what the topic is, but in terms of this particular topic, people are going to have reactions to it. We are going to react the way we are going to react, and that is completely understandable. I don't fault any level of reaction, particularly if you are someone who's been victimized by crime in your life, one way or another. And I think that all the reactions are understood, and I've always said I don't defend anybody who does any of these things. I think there should be punishments. I think there should be measures taken. And I do expect that there will be in this case of this break-in at Louis Vuitton. I mean, there's been so many break-ins around this area, and all you have to do, if you want to, is go on an app called Nextdoor. And I've fought for a long time about Nextdoor because I think sometimes it has its value. Sometimes it has its usefulness. But I think sometimes, too, it is a fear-mongering app. So, and I do think that people exaggerate things, just like they do on social media. I do think people sometimes lie about things and cause a lot of unnecessary anxiety-raising and anxiety producing with very little evidence. I've seen things such as, oh, there was some drug dealing going on down here. And then the person had to remove the post after they were challenged or after they didn't have any evidence for it. So these apps are a problem as well. And I also find that some of these apps and some of the stuff on Nextdoor, a lot of it is, you know, again, I can't go with any certainty on this, but I can say from what I'm gathering, typically the comments have a very, what I would call, conservative / right-wing type of fervor to them. We need to lock them all up. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do the other. This district attorney isn't doing very well. He's horrible. We need to get rid of him. And I just think a lot of this is a lot of bluster. A lot of this is a lot of, we need to just get rid of these folks. So I got to thinking. And I guess this is why I called what I'm about to do. Maybe I did. I don't know if I said it exactly this way in the open. But I said I'm going to do something in this episode that may strike people as really bizarre or odd. Or not that you haven't heard that from here before. Perhaps. Just kidding. But I may do something here that might strike people, some people listening, as peculiar, and I dare say, even, dare I say, conspiracy theory type thing. And I don't like conspiracy theories. I really don't. They are going to happen because there is a deficit in information. There is a gap in the information. So what the human brain does, again, I'm not justifying this, I'm only explaining it for those who would like an explanation. What the human brain does, what our brains do, is fill in information that we don't have. We speculate. We opinionate, as I do here on a daily basis. We imagine. We conjecture. We try to fill in the gaps of things that either A, we cannot understand, B, that we don't have an answer for, and C, because we want to try to make this puzzle fit. And that last one is the one that I think happens to us all. And I think I want to make this puzzle fit with this particular news of this break-in. Someone happened to be filming this as it was happening. And this is where some people are going to accuse me of creating a conspiracy theory. Because the first thing is that I I know people can turn on their cell phone video in a second, in an instant, in a nanosecond. I know that people can be filming something and something else happens to break out and boom, their camera is trained on it. I know all of those things happen. But I do wonder about what's going on. No one talks about the fact that this pandemic has been raging on now for almost 2 full years. No one talks about, in reference to crime, I mean, they may mention it briefly, that this pandemic has certainly exacerbated crime. No one talks about the fact that none of the mayors in these cities have done nearly enough to address crime. And even more than that, to address people who have no homes. I'm going to try to call people in that situation that from now on, instead of the term that we always use, homeless. All throughout the United States, we've never dealt with homelessness, or I should say, again, people who have no homes. Because I think that actually humanizes people more than if you say homeless person. People who have no homes in the richest country on the planet. And here in San Francisco, California, where the wealth disparity is the largest, the disparity between those who have and those who do not have is the largest anywhere in the country. No wealth gap is larger than it is here in San Francisco. Look at any city across the United States. This one here is the city with the largest wealth disparity between those who have and those who do not have. The reason why I'm going down this track is because I want to try to illustrate something to you. And please be patient with me as I do this, because some of it may not make sense, and some of it may make sense, and some of it may be dismissed as some pure conspiracy. Now, I am not, let me repeat again, I am not a conspiracy person. What I am is someone who likes to think that I think critically about things. That's what I like to do. I like to believe that I am a critical thinker. I know that I am a critical thinker. You are a critical thinker, dear listener. I want to do something here. Because what I've just said over the last few minutes, I'm going to add to it with the following. And again, this may be the most bizarre and ridiculous and crazy thing. But I will proceed. In 2020, there were a number of protests across the United States, and around the world, actually, but across the United States, I'm sticking to at the moment. And there were protests, of course, against the killer cop, Derek Chauvin, who executed George Floyd, and the world got to see that last year when that happened. During those Black Lives Matter protests and protests for justice for George Floyd, there were a number of people in the Black Lives Matter protests who were doing some things that Black Lives Matter protesters do not do, which is cause violence, which is burn down police precincts in Minnesota, which is set fire to a Wendy's in the case of Rayshard Brooks. People have already forgotten Rayshard Brooks. Except those in Atlanta and the Atlanta area. Because Rayshard Brooks is the young brother who was shot dead by police, shot in the back 3 times by police as he ran away from them. Do you remember that from last year, the summer of 2020? It was literally about a month or so after George Floyd had been executed. And remember, they tried to put the handcuffs on him, these cops, and he wrestled them to the ground. And he had one handcuff on and one off, and he escaped from them, these two inept cops, these two white male cops. oh my gosh, you can't let this black guy escape from us. He threw both of us to the floor and took our taser? What? He's got to be killed. I know there's lots of people who feel that way. I believe there are. I don't know them personally, but I would bet that there are lots of people in this country who feel that way. He's got to go down. Lots of white people, perhaps. Some white people who feel that way. And there may be other people who feel that way. He's got to go down. And so he runs away, turns around, fires a taser from a good God knows there's no way that taser's going to hit anybody. And boom. Cop shoots him, shoots all over the place like he's at the OK Corral. And he shoots Rayshard Brooks at least twice, maybe in three times, at least shoots at least 8 shots. 2 or 3 of them hit one of the cars. This is a crowded parking lot in a Wendy's. 2 or 3 of them hit one of the cars and hit another car. And there were 2 people inside the car. One of them was a child. And the bullet went inches from that child. Just missed that child. Could have killed that child. Could have injured that child. And that cop, angry, pissed off, and racist. And you put that cocktail together and heck, the racist part alone is enough. And he's like, I'm not going to let this you-know-what get away from me. And he shot the guy 3 or 4 times in the back, and he shot at least 8 times overall. And there were witnesses all over the blooming joint. It's a Wendy's parking lot. The surveillance camera caught the whole damn thing. So much so that Rayshard Brooks, when he was shot and he fell down to the ground, breathing his last breaths, those 2 cops, 2 white male cops, one of them stood on Rayshard Brooks' shoulder as he was dying. Stood on the top of his shoulder on his arm. And the cop that killed him, as Rayshard Brooks is lying there breathing his last breaths, that cop kicked him at least once, if not twice. Kicked his body. Kicked him in his ribs or in his back, in his ribs, as he was lying dying. Now, here's where I'm going with all of this, dear listener. A lot of these protests last year, in 2020, had people infiltrating them. And there's a woman who burned down a Wendy's. I think it was that very same Wendy's where Rayshard Brooks was. It's a white woman who burned it down. She's caught on surveillance video doing it with a canister, with matches, with, you know, all of it. The surveillance video caught her doing that. Screenshots of her buying gasoline. She was arrested, charged with these crimes. I don't know what happened after that, quite frankly, to her. But last year was a year where you had all of these people infiltrating Black Lives Matter protests. And you had Black Lives Matter protests and activists going, wait a minute. And you saw the video of this, dear listener. If you watched it on social media, you did. Wait a minute. You are not part of us. We don't burn down things. We don't loot. We don't freaking smash windows. We don't break glass. We don't do that. What are you doing? Stop right now. Enough. That's what you saw. If you saw, and I played some of these audio of some of these videos on this podcast. These people were all dressed in black. And you could see that some of them were white. Some of the people in these Black Lives Matter protests, there was one in Brooklyn, in New York City. And there's a black woman saying, hey, what are you doing? And she's calling out this white person who is smashing the storefront to a Target store. And she said, don't you do this. We are not going to have you do this to us, to our movement. This was repeated all over the country, all over the United States last year. And the other thing is that strikes me particularly is that it was found that there was a white guy who burned down the Minneapolis 3rd Precinct. The Minneapolis Police Department 3rd Precinct was burned to the ground. And it was done by a white male who shouted out that he, oh, I'm Black Lives Matter. Yeah, right. This is what I'm saying. Infiltration. Infiltration. There are other videos of white people actually saying, can I go and smash this? Can you take a picture of me smashing this particular police vehicle or smashing this car? And Black Lives Matter protesters, black people are saying, no. No. We don't want you doing this. Stop it now. You are not going to destroy our movement. You're not going to do it. And this scene was repeated over and over and over throughout the country. And there were news reports that came out last year that said that a lot of the people, the vast majority of people doing this in these Black Lives Matter protests were white people. And some of them were connected to racist movements. So-called Boogaloo Boys and all this other kind of stuff. And they were particularly violent last year. This is something that was in the news, and then it was kind of shunted to the side, of course, because, you know, when it's white violence, you know, that doesn't get any major play unless it gets scandalized or unless it gets highlighted as, well, there was no choice for this poor young boy kind of thing. You know, it's always rationalized away. And then when it cannot possibly be rationalized, it is played on an endless loop on your TVs, Derek Chauvin. Then when it cannot possibly be rationalized, it is possibly altogether not talked about at all. Or, as I said earlier, kind of pushed to the side, shunted off to the side. Where am I going with this? Look, I can't tell you for sure that there are people trying to do what I think they may be doing. I can't tell you that's actually happening. However, I just find it very interesting. Crime happens all the time. And I just find this to be very interesting. A Louis Vuitton store in San Francisco gets all this attention. Why? It's Louis Vuitton. It's riches. It's rich. You're rich. But when someone poor gets robbed, where are the TV cameras? When someone who is not named Louis Vuitton or does not have a business named Louis Vuitton gets robbed, an everyday person gets mugged or accosted, I don't necessarily see the TV cameras around. Yes, of course, there are local news stories of people who are victims of crime. There's nobody around, though, for the most part. I don't see a whole lot of that. And unless it's sensationalized or scandalized, you don't get to see it. Crime happens every day. It doesn't make it right. I'm not justifying it. We need to do something about it. These mayors need to do something about it. This is all a massive part of this is the system and how the system creates this violence in the first place. And then you've got violence in reacting to the systemic violence, which is the reaction of breaking into a store because you're poor or because you want to make money, because you want to sell these items, because you ain't got you know what, you ain't got jack. And You're reacting to that. Now, listen, I'm not justifying it. I condemn it 1,000%. I don't care if it's a Louis Vuitton. I don't care if it's a Lee Vincent. I just made that up because I don't know if there's a Lee Vincent at all. I'm trying to make it a gulf in comparison here. I don't care what the story is. I don't care who it is. It's got to be dealt with. I want to also pull the lens back a bit more. Because I can say this. This is what I smell, why I smell a rat. Particularly with this particular situation. Now look, it is worth knowing, as I said before, I want to remind people, and excuse me for the long-windedness. I want to remind you, dear listener, that crime is going up in a number of cities across the United States. Here in San Francisco, crime has definitely gone up. And it's gone up in neighborhoods that are Tony neighborhoods, well-off neighborhoods. Gone up overall, but it's gone up particularly in Tony neighborhoods. A few weeks ago around here, someone got shot. A few weeks ago around here, someone brandished a gun and smashed in windows of someone's car and stole all their stuff, threatened them, pointed a gun at them. Happened here a few weeks ago. That does not happen in San Francisco very often. Not in this part of San Francisco, it doesn't. That's for damn sure. But it's happening now. It's been happening. And it's been happening for the last year or so. And also in the last year or so, there have been all these right-wing movements. Remove the school board. Get rid of the school board. That's been going on across the country, by the way. It's not only here. Remove the school board. And all I see again is this, you know, I've talked about this before. I'm going to repeat it. White people sign these petitions, remove the school board. And typically it's two groups that are doing this. Two groups of white people, or two demographics of white people that I've seen. It's a very small sample size, dear listener. I've seen about 20 people do this over the last... But let's put it this way. Between the time of the recall election, which was in September of 2021, of California Governor Gavin Newsom, and prior to that, say in March, April, May of 2021. So let's go from April of 2021 to September 2021. That would be 5 months. I've seen about 20 people over a five-month period. So that's four every month. Now, of course, there's been loads of people, I would assume, more than the 20 that I've seen, that I had seen in that five-month stretch, signing these petitions about remove the school board. Remove the school board. Remove the district attorney, Chester Bedeen. Oh, remove him. Remove him. Oh, crime is going up. And it just makes me think that there's something else going on. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that, oh, right-wingers are doing this violence. Maybe they are. Maybe they are. Does it matter in the end? Who's doing the violence? Maybe to you it does, maybe it doesn't. Crime is crime. Or maybe it's not. Because it doesn't get punished that way with everybody. Perception, however, is reality. And there's no doubt that in San Francisco there's been higher levels of crime. However, all of this noise during the summer about convenience stores closing down because of crime, only one convenience store has been closed in San Francisco. One. Due to increased crime. And all I heard around here, and forgive me for the regionalism, if you will, of this particular episode. But this is happening all over the United States. And I dare say, dear listener, from whichever country you may be listening to this particular podcast episode in, it's happening in your country too. There's probably an increase of crime in your country. All summer long this summer in 2021, Walgreens, that's a grocery store here, that's typically out here on the West Coast, but it's all across the United States. And I think it's on the East Coast as well, but it's more kind of Midwest and West. But it could be all over. I'm sure at Walgreens is all over the country. And certainly affiliates of it. All I heard all summer here in San Francisco, Walgreens is closing, And they were closing stores outside of San Francisco. They had to close all these stores. And it turns out, best as I can remember it, there's only been one closure of a Walgreens, or there's going to be one closure in the city of San Francisco. It has 915,000 people in it for its population as of the 2000, I believe, in 20 census. What was all of that about? Is that to create a perception? Am I sounding like a conspiracy theorist? I'm trying to, as I said at the beginning, make sense of this. The puzzle pieces do not fit. And I think that's where the danger of trying to do a conspiracy analysis of this. Although I don't think I'm coming at this with a conspiracy. I just have some suspicions. Let me put it that way. I have suspicions. I could be very wrong. I could be way off course. I could be in a different solar system. I might not be in this solar system at all. I may not be anywhere on the map with what I've said the last, 20 minutes or so? 30 minutes? Could it be? Could it possibly be that between all of the petition signing and the two groups of people who are white that I wanted to talk about that I didn't say, typically older, in their 70s and above, and typically younger, people who I see signing these petitions and they don't have children with them. That's not to say that they may not have children. But on a weekend, you would believe that if you had a child, that the people signing the petition who had children would have those children with them on a weekend. Because that's when I've seen all this happening, signing these petitions. And I saw a young white couple sign the petition on a weekend months ago during the time in the run-up to the recall election of California Governor Gavin Newsom. So those are the two groups that I've seen. Typically, older white women, actually, and young white couples, male-female couples, who may not have kids. We call the school board. Oh, they're signing. Oh, yeah, I'll sign it. And all it takes is some silly... All it takes is someone to lie. As the verse, is it Matthew? The Gospel of Matthew says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. I'm no religious person, but I do remember some things in the Bible. Can't even say. See, I can't even say the word Bible, so there you go. It tells you where I am. And as I say, I'm not a religious person at all. But I do know some scripture. And all someone has to do is lie. It doesn't matter. People aren't going to fact check someone just saying some stuff that hits them emotionally, hits them in their emotional pulses and their emotional targets. Boom, boom, ooh, boom. And then you sign the petition. Right, those neurons in your brain are triggered. Boom. I'm going to sign that petition. Crime. You know what? I told this story before, dear listener. A brother comes up to me here in San Francisco just about 3 months ago. Again, this is around the time in the run-up to the recall election of Gavin Newsom, the governor of this state. Brother comes up to me, black guy, comes up to me and says, would you like to sign this petition to prevent crime? And that's what they tell you. They come up to you and they say that to you. They don't explain anything. They don't have any context. They don't have any explanation. They don't have any perspective. They don't tell you anything. They hit your emotional pulse with this fear-mongering thing. This kind of question that is designed to elicit a fight or flight type of response or mentality in you. So that you either have the guts to walk away and go, no, I don't want to sign a petition that would prevent crime in this neighborhood. Or you say, yeah, oh, what, prevent crime in the neighborhood? Oh, yes. And oh, by the way, I've been a victim of crime myself. Oh, yes. I sign it right here. You don't read anything. You don't know anything. You don't care. It's an emotional appeal to your gut. It is visceral. And that's what these right-wingers do. They are about third rail. They want to hit the third rail of your brain, the third rail of your heart, the third rail of your soul, the third rail of your nerve, and they want to press it and dig deep. And that is dangerous. It is irresponsible. Imagine someone, I come up to you, do you want to sign a petition to stop crime in your neighborhood? And I don't give you any statistics. I don't give you, and statistics can be used for anything, right? But I don't give you any context. I don't help you with information. I don't tell you anything. I go, do you want to sign it? Yeah, sorry. Do you want to sign to keep the country alive? Do you want to sign to keep your spouse alive? Oh, sign it. And it's the same thing as if someone came to you and told and asked you that. Do you want to sign to keep your spouse alive? Oh, no, I'm not going to sign that. You know, this is the thing that these folks do. Do you want to sign a petition to prevent crime in your neighborhood? Think about that for a moment. Think about how absurd that question actually is. Because on the one hand, you might think that's a very reasonable question to approach someone with, especially in a San Francisco that has seen an increase in crime. There have been shootings. There have been fatalities. This city is turning for the worst. But this notion that it's because of some progressive district attorney, I think is so far from the truth. And none of these people who have been screaming about recalling district attorneys, like Chesa Boudin here in San Francisco, none of these people who've been screaming about recalling school boards say anything about it when there are either Republicans in power or when there isn't a progressive in the district attorney's office. These problems in San Francisco have been going on for decades. And what's happening now, and you didn't hear any of these people screaming and shouting with recalling anything. They may have kicked up a stink here and there. And you know, that's what these Republicans run on. Oh, crime, ooh. And then what they end up doing is making crime even worse. And then this is just absolutely downright pathetic. And I really do smell a rat here. Now, again, I'm not saying that these crimes aren't real. Of course they are. I will never be the idiot that says, oh, Sandy Hook didn't happen. That shooting of 20 kids under the age of 5, that didn't happen. No, I'm never going to be that person. That's what these Republicans, these right-wingers do. These extremists. That's what they do. They lie like that and gaslight like that.
Oh, they were all actors. Oh, they were all pretending. They got paid a salary. Ooh.
Now you tell the families of those kids and those six teachers of those kids who got killed. You tell those families about how their child or their spouse was acting and got paid some salary. The people who have been saying this kind of garbage have been sued and they've had to pay out money, or they're going to be paying out money for this kind of garbage. And I say all of this, dear listener, again, this is perhaps to you off the beaten path, but I say all of this is to just be aware of the kind of depths and the lengths that some of these people on the right wing will go to. I wouldn't put it past them. I'm not saying that the people who broke into a Louis Vuitton 2 days ago were some right-wing zealots. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. And what I am also saying is there have been instances throughout those Black Lives Matter protests during the 2020 calendar year where there were police dressed in black clothing breaking into high-priced stores like a Louis Vuitton, like a Tiffany's and Company. There was an instance of that, I think, in Los Angeles. And it was a police officer doing it. There was an instance of a Minneapolis AutoZone store being broken into. And for a long time on the internet, there were these rumors that it was a police officer doing it. That is not entirely true at all. That, I think, has since been shot down, literally been dismissed. But the person who did do it was connected to, again, a right-wing racist-ass group. There have been attempted infiltrations in San Francisco before. There had been these right-wingers who were trying to have some rally here a few years ago in the aftermath of Charlottesville with, of course, you remember, the killing of Heather Heyer. The execution of Heather Heyer, quite frankly. I mean, this car ran right as white supremacist, you know, I hate that word, supremacist. This white racist rammed into her, mowed her down, ran her over, killing her. He's behind bars now for the rest of his life, thank goodness. But we'll never, ever get to see Heather Heyer again. Like, we won't get to see George Floyd again. Like, we won't get to see Breonna Taylor again. And there was a, I remember this very clearly here, 2017 or 18. There, it was 2017 that Heather Heyer was murdered, was assassinated, was executed. But I remember in the aftermath of that, there were these people who were trying to get a rally together here in San Francisco. Right-wingers. And the rally had to be canceled because there were so many people who stood up against it. Then just a couple of weeks ago, there were these anti-vaxxers, these right-wingers, garbage, standing on the Golden Gate Bridge out here. Screaming and shouting and then using an atrocity to try to bolster their political position. It's so disgusting when people do this. Oh, and they started referring to the Holocaust against Jewish people and started to say these just really unholy things. And trying to usurp and exploit a freaking genocide, really? And that's what these people were doing. Oh, and Jewish people didn't do. I'm like, what? You guys hate Jewish people. You guys are anti-Semitic. Don't bring that stuff here. Don't bring this stuff to me. You bringing signs out here about the Holocaust against Jewish people, and you have the nerve to use that? Where's your decency? They don't have any, dear listener. They don't have any. Disgusting. And there's no lengths and no depths to which these disgusting people, these anti-vaxxers, there's no depths to which they would sink. No depths. No furlongs. No fathoms. I really would not put it past any of these people. I don't want to say it's a false flag, is it? I mean, to go back to the time of the Reichstag in the 1930s. Is it 1933 or 36? I forget when the Reichstag fire was. It was in the 30s. Could have been 33, could have been 36, could have been... I know, someone knows that. I don't know how the year off the top of my head, but someone can look it up. Or I could look it up. The point is, it happened in the 1930s. To the best of my knowledge and memory. Well, it wasn't around the 1930s, but the best of my knowledge and memory. You know, I think that's when it was, in the 30s. And so, many people still think, and I believe, that it was the Nazis who did this to justify this kind of rise of, this horrible rise of this evil human being. Oh, we've now got to do this. You know, and that has happened in history. And it wouldn't surprise me if this attack here in San Francisco of these buildings, on these of these business establishments, it just sounds suspicious. I know there's crime in this town. I know San Francisco's gone downhill. It has. The whole country has been downhill for hundreds of years. Come on. And this money and this tech has absolutely killed this town. I love San Francisco, by the way. You wouldn't know it, but I do. I have a love-hate relationship with the city. Just like everything else, you have a love-hate. Come on, everybody has a love-hate relationship pretty much with the city they live in. Maybe they don't, but some, I'd say a lot of people do. But this city is not the same as it was 30, 40 years ago. This city is not the same. You've got all this tech. You've got all this vanilla. You've got all this blandness. There's no life to this city the way it used to be. The life that was sucked out of the city. Everything costs $1 million, you know. I mean, I'm exaggerating. But everything is just way overpriced. The views are lovely. It couldn't be a lovelier place. You've got the wine country an hour and 5 minutes or so away. An hour and five. Give or take 10 for traffic. You got the wineries, you know, but the service sucks. You know, you go to, again, I stopped going to restaurants here. The service stinks. If you're black, it really stinks. You know, I mean, let me badmouth the city just a little less. It's not even badmouthing. I'm just talking about what the truth of the city is in some respects. But the spirit of this town ain't here anymore. The spirit. You can't even go Haight-Ashbury anymore. It's unrecognizable. And there was a crime there recently. Someone got shot out there a week or two ago. Haight-Ashbury. You remember Haight-Ashbury, dear listener. That was the lifeblood of the freaking city back in the day. In the 60s and 70s. Yeah, Jefferson Airplane walking around there. Grace Slick in the, you know, Grace Slick in them. Yeah, everybody who was anybody. Who was everybody, who was anybody, who was anybody, who was everybody. Who was out there, hell yeah, Haight-Ashbury. And now look at the blooming place. It's all boutique stores and, it's just disgusting. The whole freaking country, the whole world's like this now. How many more office high-rises can we build while there are people without homes sleeping on the street? How many more high-rises can we build? How many more empty properties can we have in San Francisco and in places all around the world that is not being occupied, empty buildings, when there are people who have no home, who are sleeping right next to or outside those buildings? Yes, whoever did what they did at Louis Vuitton or anywhere else, any crime against a human being, more importantly, they all need to face accountability for that. But if you have a system that continues to profiteer off of crime happening, that system is not going to do anything about crime. All it will do is dangle the perpetual fear carrot and stick. Dangle it in front of you every election season. And you'll have people trying to get political careers started off of it. That is your system for you. Oh, did I forget that the 2022 midterms are coming? And so, oh, recall this school board, recall that governor, recall that district attorney. Oh, and oh, Louis Vuitton got broken into. Here's the video of it too. It's even on Twitter, there's a video of it. You heard the report. I smell a rat here. I smell a rat. I'm not saying that it was in this particular case with Louis Vuitton. I just smell a rat. I really do. There's an election coming up next year. And a system that has never done anything about trying to end poverty. How about that? How about ending poverty? Because if you end poverty, you will end crime tomorrow. You will end crime tomorrow if you end poverty today. You don't believe me? If you end poverty, you will end crime. But people do not want to in the system end poverty because they want crime to continue and they want people to have jobs. You know that there is a system that exists based on the crime that the system perpetuates. You've got police, you've got courts, you've got officials in courts, you've got corrections officers. None of those jobs, many of those jobs, would exist if we ended poverty tomorrow. Maybe crime really does pay. Because without it, a lot of the groups of people I've just mentioned would likely not even have a job at all. We never talk about it like that. I mean, some of us do. But you don't hear that kind of conversation in your corporate news media. You really don't. Why do you think you don't hear that kind of conversation in your corporate news media? Or even on your local news? Not because the conversation's outlandish. It's not because I'm going full bore conspiracy, because I'm not. We always react on the surface of things. Many times we do. And to a degree, it's human nature to do that. To react to the shiny object that's dangled in front of us.
Oh, do you want to get a sign a petition to end crime in your neighborhood?
And by the way, and I've said this before, when that brother asked me that question, I said no. I don't want to sign a petition to end it. And I walked away, leaving a very bemused and confused and even contemptuous looking brother staring at me as I walked away from him. Because what that petition should say is, do you want to sign a petition to get rid of a system that perpetuates crime? Maybe I might have signed that petition. There's a good chance that I would have. But of course, the attorney in me would be demanding for fine print and detail. That's the real petition question that you should be asking people in San Francisco or any city in the world. Do you want to sign this petition to end a system that perpetuates crime? Because it's all well and good to want crime to be solved, as I do. And it's all well and good to want justice, as I do. But when justice, if it ever comes, and it really does for some of us, when accountability comes, and that system is still standing there, and then in another week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, a year, There's some other ghastly, horrible crime. That system's still standing there. It's the only constant. No one wants to address the root causes. No one wants to look at that. No one wants to look at that in the country. No one wants to look at that in the history of the country. Nobody. And yet all of the things that emanate from the root causes and the failure to look at those root causes still exist and still power the things that are going on, whether it's a person that's victimized by crime or a business that is. Whether that business is a mom and pop store, and very few people even care about that, or whether it's Louis Vuitton. Ooh, Louis Vuitton, that makes news because it's rich, because it's famous. Well, police have arrested people, and what about looking at the system? Is anybody going to arrest that? Oh, gosh, you're so radical, Omar. Ooh. It's not about being radical. That's about critical thinking. It's not about radical. Ooh, that's a scary word. That's why I keep saying there's no such thing as overthinking this. There's no such thing as overthinking. That is something that, in my view, a system in a society tells you implicitly to not think about these things. Oh, you're overthinking it. And what about if someone's just trying to use their brain a bit more? More, because we only use between 3% and 8% of our brains. So 97% at maximum of our brains not even being used. And to tell me, oh, you're overthinking it, or you've been told this, dear listener, oh, you're overthinking it. Are you? Maybe you're underthinking it. No one ever says that you're underthinking something. But again, I just do think this. I have a real conviction about this. I could be way off. It's an opinion. Everybody has one. I do think that that is what a society that tries to dumb things down and dumb people down says to you. You're overthinking it. And then you've got Alexa and Siri repeating that to you next. That'll be next, right? Alexa and Siri and Cortana and all the other sounding names, right? You're overthinking that. And you can just imagine it now. And yeah, meanwhile, these freaking robots and computers and voices are taking over. Alexa's taking over and Siri's taking over. Cortana's taking over. And next minute, you know, where are you? You're not even using your brain anymore. There's so much automation about the place. I've talked about this a million times. I know you're sick of it. I know you won't tell us. You're sick of this. Oh, man, maybe you're not. Maybe that's why you continue to listen. Thank you. But what is it? What's going on here? What's really going on here? You've got these tech giants in San Francisco. Yes, they're in Silicon Valley, about 40 miles south. But they live here in San Francisco. You had a dot-com boom and then bust in the 90s here to the early 2000s. And it changed the whole character of this place. All the third generation, fourth generation Italian families that used to live in various parts of San Francisco are pretty much all gone. And the earthquake in the late 1980s didn't help either. Certainly didn't help. This place has changed. Your city has changed. Your town has changed. And wherever you are in the world, there has been changes to your town and the way it behaves, the way it does things. Technology is largely to blame for that, or is largely due to that. Automation is becoming... This is automated. We are living in an automated world now. We can't even touch anything anymore. You got a pandemic. I mean, you can touch them. But I'm saying, we can't. But I'm seriously, no CDs, that's gone. No cassettes there. Well, there's still some cassettes around. Cassettes are gone. Tapes, basically. But they're pretty much out. No one, hardly anyone uses a CD anymore. You can't even buy a computer now. Well, there are some, maybe, that have CD drives in them anymore. It's all sent by links. It's all sent by internet. It's all sent by Bluetooth. It's sent by this. It's sent by that. You can't do that. You're reading books on a freaking Kindle. Oh, sorry, I plugged a product. I mean, I do that, don't I? It doesn't matter if I intend it or not. I do it, so I shouldn't be, but I am. Right? But you have all of these things going on. You've got a pandemic. People are desperate. I'm not justifying anybody committing crime. But the greater crime is the systemic crime of no health care, of no freaking job security, of no, in the richest country on the planet, right? Of no home, no roof over your head. That's the bigger crime. Care to sign that petition? Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.